everybody. If you're happy to be in the house of God, would you give him a hand clap of praise in this place? It is such an honor to be here with you all this afternoon. Had a wonderful service this morning in Plymouth, Indiana. Had a great move of God. But I'm excited to be here with all of you this afternoon. Pastor Smith and his wife, I give them honor this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I will say I love being in the presence of God, because every time I get in his house and get in the Holy Ghost and in his presence, he always impresses me with what he does. The power of the Holy Ghost is something that we cannot live without. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need it. And I came to tell you this morning, whatever you need in this house, it is here. You might need a healing in your body. You might need God to change something in your home. You might need God just to change something in your life. But I serve a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that we could ever ask or think. Now, I don't know how you feel, but sometimes I like to think of myself as kind of a creative individual, so I dream up some pretty incredible things, some things that I don't share because they're just kind of psychotic sometimes, always different ways trying to figure out how to make $2 million in a week. If I figure that out, I will let everybody know. I've not figured it out yet. But the cool thing about God is this, is that when I think about it, if I can imagine it, and then I put my voice to what I think. So when I get the idea and then I vocalize that, God hears me. So if you can dream it up in your head that you've got cancer in your body and you need a healing and God will heal you today, and you speak that into existence, I serve a God that I know is able to heal my body. I know he's able to set me free from every addiction. And I know he is able to keep me and to hold me in the very palm of his hand. If you receive that this morning, would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? John chapter 10 and verse 10. And it says, "The thief cometh not but to steal." Everybody say steal. "And to kill and to destroy. But I am come," this is Jesus speaking, saying, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I serve a God that is not a God that is okay with just doing things half-heartedly. He's not a God that's okay with just a partial healing in your body. He's not a God that's okay with just a partial deliverance, but we serve a God of completion. So he comes not just to give me life, not just to give me strength, not just to make me feel better, but whatever I need, he comes to give it to me in abundance. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. What I want to speak to you for a few moments on is, devil, you can't have it. Devil, you can't have it. We came to serve the enemy. Notice in this house that he cannot have my life. He cannot have my home. He cannot have my job. He can't have my city, because Jesus is the king of all. And he owns all of it. So whatever I need, I know that I can go to him for it. Would you put down your Bibles, lift your hearts, lift your hands, and lift your voices with me this morning, and let's pray that the Lord would have his way in this service. God, by the authority of your word, by the power that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against every attack of the enemy. Lord, I come against every sickness right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every distraction, God, we loose the gift of faith to be active in this house. Let the Holy Ghost come down out of heaven. Minister to every heart, every spirit, and every mind. Do the miraculous in this place. I thank you for it and worship you for it, mighty God. If you believe that the Lord is going to do something spectacular in here, would you put your hands together and thank him for what he will do in this place? Somebody step across an aisle, shake hands with somebody that's standing next to you, and tell them tonight or this afternoon, or tonight is your night, however you want to say it. I think tonight's a little bit easier. Whatever it is. Devil, you can't have it. You may be seated this afternoon. In case you did not know it, the ultimate goal of the enemy is to stop you right where you're at. What the devil truthfully wants is he wants you to be okay with where you are. He wants you to be okay with where you are in your walk with God. He wants you to be okay with how many people go to your church. He wants you to be okay with how your life is going. And he is willing to do whatever it takes to stop you where you are. If it means that he has to attack you through people, maybe it's people that you've known your whole life. Maybe it's people that you ought to feel comfortable with. Maybe it's somebody that's sitting in this building right now. Maybe it's somebody in your home. He will send people against you to not only distract you, but discourage you. Discouragement is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. Because if he can ever get you to believe that God is not able, if he can ever get your faith in God to decrease, then he begins to pin you. He begins to get you stuck right where you are at. He comes to steal. He comes to steal the joy that is in your life. He comes to put depression on you. He wants you to live in a state of depression. He wants you to believe that God is not able to bring you out of your situation. He comes to steal your peace. Maybe he's stealing peace in your home. Maybe with your spouse. He wants you to have anxiety. He constantly wants you to think that everything will not be okay. He wants you to believe that your life is over. He wants you to believe that your home will be broken. He wants you to believe that you will die from your sickness. He wants you to believe that whatever it is that is attacking you will overcome you. He comes to steal your peace from you. But that's not the only thing he comes to steal. He comes to steal favor with people. He wants the people of God to be disgruntled amongst themselves. He wants you to become offended at the person that is sitting next to you and continually hold it against them, because he ultimately comes to spread disunity. Somebody listen to me. Disunity in the house of God. We've heard the old saying time and time again, there is strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. What does that mean? That means that a house that is divided against itself will surely crumble. So what am I trying to say? Whatever it is that is getting in between you and somebody in this house, I pray that by the end of this service, you would forgive them and bring unity back into the church. Bring unity back into your life. Bring unity back into the camp of the people of God. Somebody said amen. He comes to steal your family. He wants to turn you against each other. He wants your family to be out of church, because if he can affect the people that you love, if he can get in your house, if he could possibly, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's a brother, maybe it is even a cousin, somebody in your life that you know needs God to work now, but you haven't seen it happen yet. And so he comes to steal that from you. He comes to isolate you, to make you feel like you're all by yourself, to make you feel like that there's nobody else in the world that understands you, that you're the only person in the world that's sick. He comes to make you feel like that even God doesn't have your back. He wants you to feel like you have to fight the battle for yourself. He wants you to feel like you are isolated, away, alone from everybody, because then with isolation comes the attack of the enemy on your head, in your ears. Sometimes, even when we try to encourage ourselves, when we try to seek after God, when we try to pray, all we can hear is the enemy in our ear constantly saying, you will not be healed. Your family will not be saved. Your church will not grow. The Holy Ghost will not show up. You will die of sickness. You will die defeated by the enemy. That's how the enemy works. When you separate yourself from the house of God and you separate yourself from from the people of God and you separate yourself from the voice of God. Now you might ask, how do I separate myself from the voice of God? By tuning out the man of God in your life. If you are disgruntled with the man of God in your life, I came to tell you this morning, you need to get back in submission with him. The man of God and the will of God will always line up with each other. So how do you get in the will of God? How do you keep from being separated? By submitting to the man of God in your life. If you appreciate him in this house, I wish you would give the Lord a hand clap of praise that he's put a pastor in your life that loves you and that cares about you. But I also believe that the man of God is worthy of a double honor. So why don't you put your hands together one more time and thank the Lord for the man of God in your life. He comes to steal your thoughts. He comes to steal your mind. He comes to make you feel like that you're about to go crazy. He comes to steal your sanity from you. Some of us, when we get sick in our body or when something is going on in a life of somebody that we love, we instantly begin to think the worst of all of it. I don't know how you are, but there are some times when I find myself sick, when I find myself under an attack of the enemy, the one thing that your mind always goes to is what? The worst possible situation. That's how you are. That's how I am. That's how, more than likely, probably how most people on this earth are. But it is an attack of the enemy. When the spirit of fear gets on you, it makes you believe that you will be defeated by the enemy. But I came to tell someone, anything that you need in the house, if you need your joy back, if you need your peace back, if you need your health back, if you need your thoughts back, if you need your family back, whatever you came into this house needing, God is able to restore unto you everything that the enemy stole. Somebody clap your hands and thank the Lord for that this morning. He is a thief. What is a thief? Someone that comes to take what is not his. Now, stop and think about this for just a moment. If he is a thief and he takes your family from you, what does that mean? That your family is not his. So even by what the enemy does, what he is admitting to you is your family does not belong to him. If you found your health gone from you, if you found yourself sick in your body, your health does not belong to the enemy. If you found yourself in a situation on your job and you're hating life every day, 5 days a week, you go into your job, terrible things are happening. He wants you to believe that he owns your job, but I serve a God who is above all and in you all and will work through you all. And now, in every situation that you face, you do have dominion and authority over the enemy, because that is the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you, the power of the Holy Ghost, there is not a devil in hell that can come against you that can defeat you. The scripture says that believers can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover through the power of the Holy Ghost. I came to tell you right now, whatever you need in this house, the Lord has brought it here this morning, and he's ready to deliver it unto you. But he is a gentleman. What does being a gentleman entail? That means the Lord will not press himself upon you, but you must open yourself up to the Lord, open yourself up to the Holy Ghost to receive what the Lord is bringing to you. If you want God to bring something to you this morning, give him a hand clap of praise, lift up your voice, and magnify God. Not only is he a thief, but he's a con artist. He knows how to speak your language. He knows how to get in your home. He knows how to get in your situation. What is a con artist? It's someone that manipulates his way into every situation. God is testing you. Maybe God allows you to go through a certain circumstance. And the first thing we say is, well, the enemy, he's coming after me. Well, the devil, he's attacking me. Well, the devil, he's got my health right now. I wish that you would never say anything like that again. Instead, say, well, God, he's setting himself up to do another miracle in my life. Well, Jesus, he's setting himself up to get the glory, because I will see my health recover. I will see my family saved. I will see the situation on my job. I will see a way made where there seems to be no way. He is a con artist. He wants to get where you are. He wants to speak your language. He wants to get in your house, get in your camp without you ever recognizing that he is there. He's not only a thief and a con artist, but he is the father of all lies. He's the father of every lie. When a lie gets spoken to you and he begins to speak fear unto you. If there's somebody in your life that begins to tell you, you cannot make it, you cannot do it, you will not succeed, you will not overcome. We know who their daddy is. We know who their father is. We know whose kingdom they are expanding. Because if anybody speaks against you, if they begin to lie against you, if they begin to come against you, I'm not even just talking about a spirit, but I'm talking about people. I'm talking about people just like you and I. People are capable of being used by the enemy. People are capable of being used by the enemy. He is the father of all lies. But not only is he the father of all lies, but he disguises himself like the voice of God. You want to know what the voice of God sounds like? It sounds an awful lot like your pastor's. It's tight in here because you've never thought of it like that. But if God has anointed a man of God over your life, and if God has given you a pastor in your life to what? To be the shepherd, to lead, to guide his sheep, then the voice of God and the man of God will line up. And if you are not in submission, if you are not under the man of God, if you're not following the man of God, it is impossible for you to be in the will of God. I thank God every day for the man of God that he put in my life. It's very easy to say that you are submitted to the man of God when all you hear is yes, yes, yes. But you want to challenge it. Wait until you hear the opposite. Wait until the man of God says no. Don't do that. And then depending on what you do, when the answer is no, will let you know whether or not you are submitted to the man of God. You cannot be out of submission with the man of God and be blessed in your life. You want a healing in your body? You ought to get submitted. You want God to begin to speak to you? You ought to get submitted. You want the bank account to open up and God to bless your home? You've got to get submitted to the man of God in your life. Satan seeks to get you out of tune with the voice of God. He seeks to put you on a different wavelength, with the voice of God. As a matter of fact, Satan even said, I shall make myself like the Most High God. That is what Satan said. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what anybody else is saying. That is what the devil himself said, is I shall make myself like the Most High God. What we understand about Satan is he was not only the chief musician, but he was also the choir. What does that mean? That everything about Satan, he knew how to talk. He knew how to use his voice. And he's had years and years and years of practice. But the devil would have you to believe that when he is speaking to you, that it is actually God speaking to you. We have to learn how to decipher the voice of the enemy from the voice of God. And this is how you know. Whatever God says will line up with the man of God and will line up with the Word of God. And if you don't find it in the Word of God and you don't hear the man of God say it, you might as well count on it. It is probably not God. Do not be deceived in this place. He enters in like a thief. This is what the Bible says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold. What does that mean? The way that you and I go in, the grand entrance, where everybody looks for him to come in, is not where the devil gets into your life. But he climbeth up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. What do I mean? That the devil will not enter into your life through the grand entrance. He's not going to use the front door. But it's when you decide to leave the screen door unlocked. It's when you decide to leave a window open. It's when you decide to give a little bit here. It's when you decide to slack a little bit there. It's when you decide, well, I'm going to go to church, but I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to study my Bible. I don't care what he has to say. I am just going to do what I want to do. And then before long, wrong, you find yourself dwelling with the enemy. He comes in ways that are unexpected, places that you leave open. And he comes for one reason, and one reason only. He comes to steal that which you have. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your relationships. He wants to steal your miracle. He wants to steal the blessing that God wants to put on your life. We must learn to recognize the voice of God, and it's only through prayer and relationship with God. Listen, you cannot ignore God and expect to have relationship with Him. If you have a relationship with somebody, then what does that mean? That means that you communicate with them. That means that you talk with them. If I ignore you, then that means I don't care what you have to say. That means that I am perfectly okay going about my day, living however I would like to live without the input of God in my life. We must get past that. We must learn to hear the voice of God and to be in relationship with God. But listen to me beyond that. What He cannot steal, what He cannot take from you, He wishes to kill. The enemy wants you to die in the spirit. He wants your faith to be dead. He wants your hope to be dead. He wants to drive you as far away from God as possible. There's some people in here, even while you hear me preach right now, you're starting to think, does he know what he's talking about? Is this really God? Can God really do what he said he would do? Do people actually get healed? Do people actually get delivered? Because that is how the enemy works. When faith begins to arise in the house, he seeks to squash it. He seeks to silence it. That's why he wants to silence the man of God in your life. That's why he tries to interrupt your prayer time, to silence your communication with God. That's why every time you sit down to read this book, you sit down and you read maybe a chapter, maybe not even that, and then something else comes up, because he seeks to get in the way of your communication with God, because he wants to kill your spirit. He wants to kill your relationship with God. He wants to take from you that which is yours. He wants to take God's credibility away from you. He wants to take take your faith that you have to believe that God can do what he said he would do. He wants that gone and out of your life. And what is dead, now listen to me, what is dead produces no fruit. That's what the Bible says. That if you are alive in the Spirit, you will produce the fruits of the Spirit. You will produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and self-control. So what did I come here to tell you? That let a man examine himself to truthfully see whose camp he is dwelling in. Let a man examine himself to truthfully see whose kingdom he is building. Let a man examine himself to truthfully see just what he is submitted to. And if you are not producing the fruits of the Spirit in your life, chances are the enemy already has you right where he wants you. But I've got good news for you. Even if the enemy is in your camp right now, maybe you're looking at yourself and saying, I don't produce those things. Here is the good news. God has your back. And God is here this morning to give you everything that you've lost. Even when Job lost everything he had. And even when his wife said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you give up on God? There was something in Job's spirit that he says, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you can ever learn how to praise God in the bad times, if you can ever learn how to praise God, even when it doesn't make sense. If you can learn how to have the faith to believe that God is able to do what he said he would do, your life will forever change. But not just your life, the life of the people around you. Because when you've got the Holy Ghost, when you've got the Spirit of God living inside of you, there's something about it that is contagious. Where everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, they begin to say there's something different about him. There's something different about her. She has a hold of something. Sir, ma'am, what is it that you have a hold of? Because when you have life dwelling inside of you, everything that is dead seeks to attach itself to it, because the enemy wants what you've got. He wants you to die in the spirit, because he can't have what you have. The enemy's on a spiritual lockout. What am I trying to say? That the only way the enemy can have access into your life is if you allow him to. Somebody hear me this morning. You want to know how to get the devil out of your life? You want to know how to get him out of your home? You want to know how to get rid of the sickness in your body? You want to know how to put your family back together? You have got to block the enemy out from the things that you do, from the conversations that you say. But this is what I find is the most effective in the spirit. There's something about when I get the boldness inside of me, not just to dream, not just to think about what the Lord can do, but when I put that into action. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. What does that mean? That means that after the fall of Satan, the chief musician, the choir, there was never another song sang in heaven. So when we begin to sing praises to the Lord, and what is done on earth shall be done in heaven, and what is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, what is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when I loose my tongue to give God praise, regardless of what I'm going through, he doesn't have any option but to show up right where I am at. But if I ever lose my praise, if I ever lose my faith in God, if I ever lose what the Lord has given me, that is when the devil seeks to come and take that which is mine. He wants to take everything you've got, your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your health, your family. He wants to take your spouse down. He wants to affect your head. So everywhere you go, that you have this constant thing where you don't feel like an overcomer. But I am an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. Let me tell you what Jesus did at Calvary. Everything that I faced in my past is covered. Everything that I face in my present is covered. And everything that I face in the future is covered, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it for my grandpa, and if he did it for my daddy, then I know he will do it for me. If he healed my body in the past, he will heal my body in the present. Because I choose to say this: if my God be for me, who can be against me? If Jesus be for me, who can be against me? And let me tell you one more thing, that if he paid the ultimate sacrifice, if he paid the price for my life, then my life belongs to Jesus. My life does not belong to the devil. My life does not belong to the enemy. My children do not belong to the enemy. My health does not belong to the enemy. I will not let him take another thing that is mine. I will not let him take my health. I will not let him take my sanity. I will not let him take my church. I will not let him take my spouse. I will not let him take my job. But I choose this day to say, I'm about to drive the enemy out of my house. I will not be complacent where I am at. I will not be complacent with my circumstance. I will not be complacent with my sickness. I will not be complacent with my church. But I choose to say this: God has given me a promise. He's given me a promise that simply this: no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But not only that, he gave me a promise of life, and life more abundantly. When the enemy seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy that which is mine, Jesus steps on the scene and says, what you thought was death, what you thought would kill you, what you thought would destroy you, I came to say it is only temporary. Because when Jesus shows up on the scene, the enemy has to flee. When he shows up on the scene, the scripture says that even the mountains before him begin to shake and tremble. When God shows up on the scene, every devil in hell begins to flee. When he shows up on the scene, lives are changed. When he shows up on the scene, disease is healed. When he shows up on the scene, anything is possible. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Even when sin had left a crimson stain, it was the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of Jesus that washed me white as snow. It's the blood that covers me. It's the blood that backs me up. It's the blood that changed my life. It's the blood of Jesus that no matter what I face, I will have the victory over. I will overcome it. Somebody shout hallelujah unto the Lord right now. I'm not going to sit back another service. I'm not going to sit back another week. I'm not going to sit back another day and watch my family go to hell. I'm not going to sit back one more second, one more minute, one more hour. I am not going to sit back and watch as the enemy runs rampant in my life. Just like the children of Israel, just like David, just like the prophet Elijah, and just like Jesus, I will overcome the enemy. I will take my family back. I will take my city back. I will take my church back. I will take my health back. And it's not because of anything that I can do. It's not because of any power that I've got. It's not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. Because He lives, I can see tomorrow. Because He lives, my sins will be washed away. Because He lives, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because He lives, I can be victorious. There is not another prophet of God There is not another God of any religion. There was never a prophet. There was never anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ that not only died for your sins, but He resurrected. In death, He paid for it. And in resurrection, He overcame it. What am I trying to tell you? He went down and He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So no matter what I face, if it's sickness in my body and I think that death is imminent, He took the keys to death. If it's hell coming against my family, He took the keys to hell. And if I ever think that I'm about to go in the grave because of my situation, He took the keys to the grave. What am I trying to tell you? Whatever you need, God is here and God is ready to pour it out on you. He said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have life more abundantly. In the beginning, when God created man, the scripture says that He breathed the breath of life into his body. It was the breath of God that gave me life. It was the breath of God that turned me from something that wasn't anything but dirt into something that can live. So if it is God's breath that is in my body with everything I do, and with everything I say, yea, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the difficulty, the devil didn't give me the breath to breathe, and the devil can't take it out of my body, because my breath in everything I do, in everything I say, and in everything I have, let it be as of a praise unto the Lord God Jesus Christ. Somebody give Him a hand clap of praise. So I came here to speak life back into somebody's situation. I came here to tell you this. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost this morning. I came here to tell you this. If you're sick in your body, God came here to heal your body this morning. Whatever you need, you are an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb that strengthens you. The blood of the Lamb that washed you. The blood of the Lamb that covers you. And here's the thing about a covering. Every attack of the enemy starts from the head down. So when I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, the attack of the enemy comes at me. I'm already covered by the blood. The snares of the enemy try to catch me. It's repelled by the blood. Hellfire rains down on my head. It's already covered and shattered by the blood. The scripture says that the teeth of the lion or the teeth of the devourer were ripped out of his mouth at Calvary. What does that mean? That even when the enemy comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He might like you to believe that he is able to devour you, but this is what I came to tell you. He doesn't have any teeth, so he can't grab a hold of me. So what am I trying to say to you? He can talk all he wants to. He can roar all he wants to. He can bark all he wants to, but all he's got is a bark, baby. He doesn't have any bite. So no matter what comes against me, I shall overcome it through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody stand with me in this house.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Could you lift up your hands and offer up a praise unto the Lord right now with a loud voice? Everybody in here, lift up your hands. If you've got nothing else to say, just begin to shout hallelujah unto the Lord all over this building. Come on, everybody, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice with me. Lift up your voice with me. Lift up your voice with me. I magnify you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, I worship you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord Jesus. I'll never forget the story of David as he was out fighting, helping the people of God. He comes back into his camp having been gone and comes and finds everything that he had. His wives, his possessions, his goods, his home, everything stolen from him. The scripture says that even his men turned against him. But David posed a question unto the Lord. He said, Lord, shall I pursue? And let me tell you what God spoke to him. He spoke one word. He said, pursue. So what am I trying to tell you? I don't care if you came in this building and you've lost all hope. If you feel like you've lost your family. If you feel like you've lost your mind. And if you feel like you've lost your help. I came to tell you, God is trying to get somebody to pursue. I don't... Listen, just in a few years, we saw a church in a small town, only with 61 people on it, grow to over 250 people. This is the greatest time of revival on earth. Whatever we need, God will do it. And I believe that if we can ever grasp what I'm preaching about this morning, if we can ever grasp what it means to have power in the Holy Ghost, if we could ever follow what the apostles did everywhere they went, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, even the shadow of the apostle would go over somebody that was sick and they would be raised up. You have the same Holy Ghost living inside. If you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, the same power that the apostles had is in you today. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it can be yours this morning. It can be yours this morning. And this is what the Bible says, that if we would ever repent of our sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is yours. It's not enough to be baptized in the name of the Father or of the Son or of the Holy Spirit, because let me tell you something, everything that I just named there, it's all titles. The name of the Father, Father is a title. I can be a son and I can be a father. So the Father must be a title, and I am a son, yet I am a cousin. But I have a name, and if you need me, you don't call on son, you don't call on father, but you call on my name. And just like that, when you need God, you don't call on father, you don't call on son, but you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is power in that name. So we must repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost through the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Just like found in Acts chapter 2, when they were all gathered together on the day of Pentecost in an upper room, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all of the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And then when people saw, they asked if they were drunk, but he said, this is not what ye supposed, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out of my Spirit, saith the Lord. But the promise was not just unto you, because then when they heard about it, they said, what do we have to do? And the apostle Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the promise is unto you and unto your children, and even to all of those that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you are here this morning, God has called you. If you are here this morning, I say along with your pastor, it is not by accident. It's not by circumstance. It's not by chance that you are here. But God has ordained this meeting here. God has ordained you to be here. He has ordained me to be here. Even by chance, the chances of us ever coming into contact with each other would have not been anything at all. But God has ordained this meeting, and He has ordained this day to have a crazy preacher that screams and yells to come and tell you this: you have overcoming power, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So whatever you need in this house, God is able. If you need the Holy Ghost, He's ready to give you the Holy Ghost. But if you need a healing in your body, He's ready to give you your healing in your body. Whatever you need is in this house this morning. So this is what I ask you. If you need a healing in your body, would you lift a hand right now? If you need healing in your body, anybody, maybe you have pain in your body. Two people, could you please come down to the front for me? We're going to lay hands and pray over both of these sweet elders of the Lord. Now, this is what else I'm going to ask. If you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never received the Holy Ghost and you want the Holy Ghost, would you also please come down to the front this morning? But I'm not done yet. I want you to come down. I want people that need healing to come down. But if you just need a breakthrough, if you need something to fall off of your life, you need God to change your life, I'm going to ask you to also come down to the front this morning. If you need God to do anything in your life, maybe you even just need some encouragement, I'm just going to ask you to join down here with us this morning. There's a few. There's plenty of space. Don't walk out of here without receiving what you need this morning. There's another one. Anybody else? You need God to do something. There's four. There's five. Anybody? You need God to do something. I promise you, if you will take the step of faith, whatever it is that you need, even if it's somebody that you know, a family member that needs God to show up, it will happen this morning. I've seen miracle after miracle happen, and over 200 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost in the last year. I just saw a man get up out of a wheelchair as God made him whole because he had the faith to believe that God is able. So whatever you need in this house, God is able. I will make one more appeal. If you need God to do anything, I want you to come down to the front. I'm going to give you just a moment. If you need God to do anything in your life, I want you to come down to the front. There's a few more joining us. Now here is what I'm going to ask. Maybe you don't need God to do anything. There's another one coming. God bless her. Now here's what I'm going to ask right now. If you have the faith to believe that God is able to do what His Word said He would do, would you just lift up a hand right now? If you have the faith to believe that God is able. So this is what we're going to do. I believe that when we speak faith into the atmosphere, that anything is possible. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to follow just what the apostles laid out. And if there's anybody that you would like to come and pray for some of these people, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and join us down here in the front as well. I'd like to start this morning with a simple prayer of repentance this morning, that we would get anything that is unclean. We have to get the sin out of the way in order for God to speak life into us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So could we all repent together? It's simply telling God, I'm sorry for my sins and everything that I've done. I cannot repent for you. You must repent for yourself, but I will repent alongside of you. Lord, I repent of my sins. Everybody in the building, I repent of my sins. I repent of my faults. I repent of my failures, Jesus. Anything that I've done that's not pleasing to you, Lord, I give it back to you right now. You don't just want what's pretty. You don't just want what's clean, but you want every single part of it, Lord. So I give everything back to you. I don't want to live out of the will of God any longer, but I want to live in the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to live in the power and in the promise of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I give it back to you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give that back to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I've got good news for you. The Bible says that if you repent of your sins and are baptized in Jesus' name, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is yours. So I know that we have a baptismal tank in here. And this is what I'm going to ask. If anybody in here has not been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know it's a lot. I know it's taken a step of faith. But I want to challenge you this morning. If you need baptized this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Or if you're not sure, it never hurts just to be reassured and go ahead and get baptized again, even if you don't know. But if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and you want God to wash away everything in your past, would you lift a hand up this morning? Anybody, you need baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you don't necessarily want to or aren't comfortable with it, but you know you need to be baptized this morning. Is there anybody in the house you would say, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name? Anybody? I'm going to give it just another second. There's no pressure. We are all a family here, and we are all here to love and to support each other. Anybody, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Nobody. Nobody needs baptized in Jesus' name. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad that all of our sins have been washed away. So if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and you have repented, then the promise is unto you. So this is what I'm going to ask you. Everybody in this building, I want you to lift your hands. If you're standing next to somebody that needs God to do something, I'm speaking specifically to the people in the front right now. I want you to join hands with the person that is standing next to you, and I want you to lift up your hands to heaven. I'm going to speak the word of faith in this house, and when I do, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to lift your voice as loudly as you can and begin to worship the Lord. Could you do that for me? God, by the authority of your word, by the power that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the attack of the enemy. I bind the devourer of my soul. I bind the devourer of my health. I speak peace and prosperity and favor and blessing and wholeness. Be healed this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do what you said you would do. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Change our lives this morning. And I will give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Now somebody offer up praise unto the Lord. Lift up your voice. Open up your mouth and begin to praise the Lord in this place. I magnify you, Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody, just lift up a praise unto the Lord in this building. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody begin to worship the Lord. We're just going to let God do what He wants to in this place. Somebody lift up your hands. Open up your mouth. Lift up your voice and just begin to worship and praise God for what He's doing in this house. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I magnify you in this house. Lord, I sing a praise unto your name this morning, and I worship you. I will give you the praise. I will give you the glory. I will give you the honor. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I give you praise. I give you glory. In the name of
our hands towards heaven all across this place. I don't believe God is done in this house, but there are still some here today that God is wanting to give you a refreshing. God is wanting to give you a renewing right now. Come on, can we all reach our hands right now in the name of Jesus? God, loose fear in this house. Loose the bondage of the things that are holding people right now in this house in Jesus' name. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you came with someone in this house that's here today, I want you to reach over and grab their hand. Whoever you came with today, I want you to reach over and grab their hand here today. God has spoken to us today. I have to say, in the Holy Ghost, I can just be completely honest with you. Every one of you heard me say last Sunday, the evangelist we always used to minister in this form and fashion to this church took a church. And in the Holy Ghost, Brother Jordan, last week, I said, pray that God is going to give us an evangelist that will speak to our church. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe it's necessary in a church. You need a prophetic. You need the teaching. You need the pastor, but you also need the evangelistic word. If this church has ever been spoken to today, God spoke to some people in this house today. So I wonder right now, not a bunch of pomp and fanfare and all of that stuff, but I wonder if you could bow your heads and grab someone's hands next to you that you came with here today. I want us to thank God for speaking to us one more time. He didn't have to, but because of His mercy and because of His grace, He brought healing to this house. He brought refreshing to this house. Some of you, this is the first time you've had a refilling of the Holy Ghost in a while. I've watched from as a pastor and watched the power of God as He spoke into your life today. But I wonder right now if we can just utter a little bit of thanks to a God that walked into this house and spoke something to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't have to do it, God, but you did. Let this be a moment, God, of turning in my life. Let this be a moment, God, that says, if there was a day that you turned my life around, that you put some clarity back in my life, let this be the day, God, that I'm going to look back on and say, that's the moment God changed me. I may not understand everything I have to go through. I may not understand everything that I'm going to face in the future, but today, God spoke some clarity that He's in control of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you to our guests. Thank you so much for coming today. I'll greet you after church. Thank you for, he's a return guest. Good to have you back, bro. Hopefully I can catch you all after service and get a few moments to talk to you and my wife also. We are honored.